Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Bicklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM, of course, over the air on your radio here in San Juan County, 103.3 FM on your radios in the Durango, Colorado area, and of course, you can listen anywhere else on the planet by just going to our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are joining us this morning because KSJE is a community-supported visual radio station, so the video of this program is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, everybody, as well. Coming up in the next few moments, we're going to be talking with our friends from Child Haven here in San Juan County about all the work that they are doing, some of the work, of course, for foster care and the upcoming Pledge for Children campaign. That is our topic this morning, which begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE, so we hope you'll stay tuned for that. Later on this hour, we'll be checking in at 8:50 a.m., of course, with the one and only Ron Price. Ron will be here again this week with another lesson about life in the sandbox, so we hope you'll join us for that later on this hour, 8:50 a.m. on KSJE Radio. Next hour, of course, it's Roving with the Arts, our classical music program hosted by Mick Hess. Mick this morning is playing some more selections from composer Vaughn Williams. You'll hear that coming up next hour after the news at 9:06 on KSJE, which will take us to 10:30. And right on Four Corners, our local and regional author program, we welcome Delcherie Gladden, the new host of Right on Four Corners. It is her inaugural program with us this week, and this week, Delcherie is speaking with author Miriam Sagan about her newest book called Stash. That conversation at 10:30 here on KSJE this morning. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, this program, as well as all the other local programs produced by KSJE, become podcasts, and you can find them and subscribe for free wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts and Pandora. The list goes on and on, so we invite you to subscribe and maybe discover a program that you may have missed recently. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it is a sunny Wednesday morning, but cold, 19 degrees at the moment outside our studios. We're expecting more sunny but cool weather for the next several days. 41 for a high in Farmington today, clear skies overnight with a low of 15 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine, 42 on Thursday, 43 on Friday, 41 again on Saturday, 42 on Sunday. High temperatures right around in the mid to lower 40s, and overnight lows, as you can see with those clear skies, in the teens to lower 20s. Well, let me introduce my guests who are joining us this morning, as I mentioned, from Child Haven to talk a bit about the foster care program and also the upcoming Pledge for Children campaign. From Child Haven, we have on video link for us this morning two folks who are involved in the foster care program, and let me show them to you this morning. There they are. Sarah Herrera is here. She's the foster care recruiter for Child Haven. Good morning to you. Good morning, Sarah. And also joining us this morning is Galadriel Curran. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us this morning. And also joining us on the telephone, we have Andrea Pena, who'll be joining us in a bit later from the Child Haven Foundation. But I want to start by talking with both of you about the Child Haven foster care program. And this is something that we've heard about, gosh, for a while. It's a service that Child Haven provides, and there's still a shortage, I think, of foster families for the number of children who need them. And Galadriel, can you start by talking to us a little bit about that need?
So there is a great need. We have approximately, I think, 150 children in care, in CYFD care at this point. And we have about 12 to 15 CYFD families. And then for Child Haven, we have only 6 families. So there is a desperate need for foster care homes in San Juan County. If the children, if there isn't a home in San Juan County, then they end up going to other areas of the state. So we really want to keep them in, their home of origin in San Juan County.
Right. I would assume that that would affect things like schools and other
Yes,
relatives and
sir.
things along that line, I suppose, right? If they can't be in their local area.
Yes, sir.
Got you. And so it's a process, of course, to become a foster parent and some of the requirements of being a foster parent. Would you kind of go through some of those for us? What are some of the requirements?
So the main requirement is that you can provide a soft landing for these kids, and can provide them love and nurturing and care. Some of the requirements are being able to pass the background checks that they have with the state and fingerprinting and all that other good stuff. And then there's the home study that we do. And we get to ask all sorts of fun questions during that home study. And it takes about 120 days to from turning in an application to actually being licensed.
Got you.
There's also about 40 hours worth of training that we provide our parents. And they basically get all the tools that they need to support a kid that has experienced trauma.
Got you. And I know that there's a lot of support too, right? Once a person becomes a foster parent, and I guess an individual could be a foster parent, right? Doesn't have to be a couple necessarily.
No, it doesn't have to be a couple. It doesn't have to be a heterosexual couple. And there's a lot of support. We provide our parents with weekly contact with the treatment team, and that could be the therapist, that can be the treatment coordinators, that could be myself if they feel like they need some extra skills or some extra supports.
And it really does make a difference for this child. You mentioned kind of the soft landing, right? Because these children have been through situations, and that's the whole idea why they are in need of a foster parent and maybe foster family. And so as the judicial system takes its role, the child really needs to keep being a kid sometimes and needs a safe place to be a kid. And that's kind of what these foster families, foster parents provide, right?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you very much. Sarah, let me turn to you, Sarah Herrera, the foster care recruiter. And so you are always on the lookout, I guess, for potential foster parents. And so talk to me a little bit about the job that you do.
Hi, yeah, we are always on the lookout. We try and make it to all community events. We've been having booths at any events that we can find so that we can kind of just spread the word. I don't think that our community knows of the great need that we have. So we're just kind of trying to get our name out there, letting people know that we're looking for families, trying to just kind of mesh with the community and see what the interest is, kind of educate people on what it takes, what it looks like, and just the great need that we have to do it.
Right. As Gladula was saying, there is a big need. A lot of kids that are waiting, I guess, for a foster parent, a foster family, and so and raising awareness in the community. I have a photo to display here of a recent looks like a ribbon cutting with the Chamber of Commerce. Right, you now have your own kind of building as part of the Child Haven campus, right, to become a little bit more visible in the community for the foster care program.
Absolutely. And that was a really exciting day. Having the building has been a huge shift for us. I think that people just seeing the sign as they're driving down the street has made a big impact. We get a lot of people that didn't even know that we were here. They just assumed that Child Haven was the shelter. They didn't know that Child Haven also offered a foster care program. So just having the building alone has really helped us to reach more people and just to get out there a little bit more.
Right. Very, very good. Let me bring Andrea Pena into the conversation here this morning. She, of course, is the executive director of the Child Haven Foundation. She is joining us on the phone this morning. Andrea Pena, always great to have you on the show with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. It's great to have you on the program. And so the work of, obviously, the work that Sarah and Gladula are doing with the foster care program, getting the word out about the need for more foster parents and foster homes for these children that are in need, and the work, of course, that the Child Haven Foundation does to support all of these programs, they really go hand in hand, don't they?
They do. The role of the Child Haven Foundation is to secure the future of Child Haven and the children in our community. So the work that Gladriel and Sarah do and all of the foster care programs and all of the other programs at Child Haven, they're so important to our community. And the Child Haven Foundation's role is to support all of those programs to ensure that we have a better, healthier community for our children.
Right. And as Sarah was saying, do you hear from a lot of folks, Andrea, when you're talking to them, that maybe they just think that Child Haven is only about the shelter and they're not aware of the other many other things that Child Haven does? Foster care, just one of the many other programs in addition to the shelter. But do you find folks are maybe only think of Child Haven in the shelter terms?
Yes, definitely. I think because the shelter was started by the community, it has such strong ties here. But Child Haven in the 90s decided to expand programs. And so when things like foster care, the CASA program, Children's Advocacy Center, therapy programs, when all of those were added, people may not have had the same understanding or feeling towards them as, you know, some of their family members started Child Haven as a shelter. And so the thing, though, is that all of these programs are so important for children, especially in relation to child abuse, neglect, and trauma issues. And that's where the foundation's role needs to come in, because these are all very vital services. And it takes money to make sure that they can continue on. Unfortunately, all of these programs need to be here for a long time. And so we have longevity in mind. And so we hope that people can join our cause. And when they do, they're supporting us today and for years to come.
Right, right. Very true. Well, I'm going to come back to you, Andrea Pena, and talk a bit more about how we can do that, how folks can support the work of Child Haven as we continue our conversation about the foster care program. And so going back to Galadriel Curran, who is the foster parent liaison. And Galadriel, talk to me a bit about the commitment, I guess, that you ask your foster parents to provide for these children, because I know it's hard to predict just exactly how long these children will need to be in foster care. So when these parents are coming through training, they need to be prepared, right, for kind of a long-term commitment, do they not?
So Child Haven actually provides a treatment foster care program rather than just a regular foster care program like CYFD. And our goal is to support these kids in healing from that trauma versus say adoption or something like that. A lot of our kids are in our homes anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half. As we provide them support in their healing process, in their healing journey. And so as far as a commitment for each placement, it would be probably a year to a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
CYFD is really focusing on reunification or placement with family members after the support that they receive from our program. So our goal really isn't adoption. It is healing.
Understood. Understood. And again, what's in the best interest of the child too, right?
Yes, sir.
Very, very good. And Sarah, let me come back to you a little bit too. Same type of question, Sarah Herrera, when you're talking to potential foster parents and folks who have questions, maybe what's the most common thing that you're asked about when it comes to talking to folks about the foster care program at Child Haven?
I think the most common thing that I hear from people is that they're afraid to love a child and then have to let them go. And that, when I first started, I could completely understand that fear. And as I have worked here and met with parents and met some of the kids, those are exactly the kind of people that we need to foster. if your heart and your family are, if your biggest fear is that you're going to love a kid too much, like that's the best case scenario for any of our kids. So I think that that's something that that says a lot about people that are questioning or looking into foster care. That the biggest worry is that you'll have too much love is the most exciting thing we can hear from parents. I get a lot of questions about kind of what it looks like as far as a kid coming into the home within, so what it looks like for the biological kids, what it looks like for the family units. And again, a great question and something that is exciting for everybody involved. A lot of times the kids, biological and foster, can mesh really well together and just create a stable, healthy place for all of the kids involved. So I think those are our two biggest questions that we get. And also, how do I start? What is the process? How can I get started doing this? What is the first thing that I need to do in order to start this process? I would say that those are probably the three biggest questions that we get.
Gotcha. And of course, how to get started is what, to just reach out to Child Haven and start that application or information request form?
Yeah, so we actually have one on our social media, on Child Haven social media. We have one directly through our Child Haven website. They can come in to the foster care building anytime. We're at 807 West Apache, and they can just come on in anytime. They can call me directly. There's so many avenues. If they end up calling any of our other programs, they'll be directed straight to us.
Got you. But the first step is to kind of just reach out and at least start the ball rolling, I guess.
Yep. Just to let us know that you're interested. We bring them here to the foster care building. They can meet with all of us and have a real conversation about what it looks like. We want them to have realistic ideas about what it looks like and about what it takes. And we usually just go from there. And once they come in and meet all of us and see the team that they're going to have constantly with them, helping them through the process, not just getting licensed and a kid in their home, but forever after that, anytime they need help with whatever situation they have with their foster kids, there's a team here that'll help them through the whole thing.
Right. Very good. And this is a really important component, is it not, of the process, if you will, I guess, when there's been a situation in the family and a child has to be removed from their home to be able to get the child into some other type of situation, whether it's the Child Haven shelter or a foster family, to continue their growth and development and things along that line. This is a really important component to that, isn't it?
It is. So having the team, there's somebody on call 24/7, and then we're here Monday through Friday just in the office, and just having the ability to reach out, and there's never anything that our foster parents will have to face alone. Any challenges, any, like you said, a child having to be removed or a child coming in, they don't ever have to do any of that alone. We walk through the whole process with them. We have a lot of foster parents that just call to visit because they've become so close with all of the team members here in our building and in our program that it's like one big family, and all of our girls here at the foster care building, we're able to just walk them through anything that might come up. Because there are things that come up, and questions and, hurdles, of course there are. And they just don't ever have to face any of those things alone.
Right. And I think that's really important that these the folks who enter the foster care program understand that there is a whole team of support folks at Child Haven that can help them through these situations, right?
Absolutely. I think that is probably our biggest flex, is that we can do that as a team. We never send anybody into a situation that they're not prepared for, or that they didn't have kind of an understanding that this might happen, that there may be hurdles that they're going to have to overcome. And at any time when that does happen, literally just a phone call away, we have girls that can come to the home at any time. If it requires more than just the phone call, there's always somebody prepared to go and help with whatever situation comes up.
Very good. Thank you very much. Galadriel Kern, I want to turn back to you a little bit, too, about your work, of course, as the liaison with the foster parents in the program. And as Sarah was mentioning, all the training and the support that that is available, I imagine your parents are really grateful for some of that, to have a resource to reach out to for situations that that could arise during the course of their foster care for these children.
They are. And I think one of the things about my position in particular is I'm there to support the foster parent themselves. So sometimes it's not the child or not the, you know, their behaviors or anything along those lines. It's more, I need support because this kid is about to go home and I'm having all of these kind of feelings, you know, because I really love this child and I want the best for him. And I support the foster parent in processing and working through those feelings and those thoughts. And when a time is difficult, you know, life happens, and not just within the family. So maybe there is a death of a family member. I'm there to support them through that as well.
Very, very good. Well, thank you, both of you, for joining me this morning and talking a bit about the program, the foster care program that's so important in the community, and the need for more foster parents in the program. As you mentioned, you've got children that I guess are on a waiting list, right, for new foster parents to come on board, right? Galadriel, is that the situation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, thank you both very, very much. And let me come back to Andrea Pena from the Child Haven Foundation and talk a bit more about the Pledge for Children campaign, because that's a way that the community can help support the foster care program and many of the other programs that are put forth by Child Haven in the community. We mentioned a few of them earlier. The shelter, of course, is well known, foster care now as well, and some of the others. But Andrea Pena, this is the time for folks to kind of step up and support Child Haven for the rest of the year, right?
Yes, so the Pledge for Children campaign is our annual end-of-year fundraiser, and we invite anyone who would like to help with our cause to donate. So they can go to our website, childhavennm.org. They can go to our Facebook page and donate. We also would love to just mention, so what is the result of the Child Haven Foundation? I'll just pose that question.
Sure.
One of the things that is visible and seen is the building that you all were talking about. So when that property came up for sale a couple years ago, the foundation was able to acquire it, remodel it, and have it readily available for this program. And those were dollars directly from our community that made that happen and possible. And the space was needed. The foster care program was previously in two very small offices in the shelter, and they needed the opportunity to expand and grow, and also the visibility option has been huge for everyone involved. And so that's something that's a tangible result of the Child Haven Foundation. So we're supporting the foster care program in that way and helping Child Haven to have the buildings necessary to facilitate the programs. So, of course, there's also the direct person-to-person impact that the Child Haven Foundation, through the Child Haven Foundation, allows Child Haven to have by being that support for the programs. So we know that not everybody can be on staff with us. Not everybody can work directly with the kids, but people can donate and make a difference. And Child Haven's mission is lifting children from crisis to hope, and everyone in our community can be a part of that mission.
Right, right. Very true. And so how can folks make a difference? They need to go to the website. That's probably the easiest way, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that's the easiest way, childhavennm.org. And there's a nice green donate button they can click on. People can also send a check in the mail. We do have our contact information, whether that's on Google, a Google search, or on our website, or our Facebook page, our mailing address. People still like sending in a check, which we appreciate. And then another way to support us is by taking the knowledge they learned from today with Sarah and Galadriel, and just to think about it and to talk to others about foster care. And if the foster care program is successful, the Child Haven Foundation is successful, and so, and vice versa. And so we hope that people can really just understand the need for foster parents, and also just see that these kiddos need to be loved and not be afraid of that, the issues that they may think of and the fears that Sarah mentioned, but just that these kids need love.
Right. Very true. And of course, I know for years and years and years, Child Heaven has had a big fundraising appeal at the end of the calendar year. And this is what we're talking about. It's been in years past. It's been an event, a dinner, whatever the case may be. And the whole idea of the Pledge for Children campaign is that with busy schedules that folks can just make a difference and not have to add another event to their busy, busy holiday schedules.
No, exactly. We really want people just to catch our vision and our mission and to give. And they don't have to buy a ticket to anything. They don't have to get dressed up fancy for anything or have a special meal. Their dollars can directly impact the children in our community. And we think that's much more empowering. And we invite people to join us in that way.
Okay, very good. Well, Andrea Pena, we are out of time this morning, but I appreciate you being available as well and the work that you all do with Child Haven and the Child Haven Foundation. Thank you all very, very much for joining me again. Galadriel Curran and Sarah Herrera from Child Haven's foster care program. Thank the two of you for being with us as well and the work that you all do in the community. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome. Thank you. My guest from Child Haven with me this morning here on KSJE. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week. Week 13, review and reorganize. Whether you're using a notebook, a laptop, or a good old-fashioned flashcard, reviewing each line of your notes helps ensure that you hit all the right information you reviewed in class and might even remind you of a few things you would have missed otherwise. It's good to review notes shortly after class and then again a few days later. This allows you to take a break between edits and come back to the information with a fresh perspective. The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College.
We invite you to the Festival of Trees Santa's Sleigh Ride, December 2nd from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Farmington Civic Center. Take a magical ride through historic downtown Farmington. Make memories on a horse-drawn wagon ride, s'mores, and a reindeer scavenger hunt. Tickets are $8 and can be purchased online at pmsfestivaloftrees.org. Thank you, Fundamentals Child Development, AirStar, and Four Corners Community Bank for sponsoring this event.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.